So we're past the hump day, headed downhill into the weekend, right? Thursday morning. Hope it's going well for you. Good morning and welcome to Light the Tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, we're local, we're digital, on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. My name is Craig Way. So glad to have you with us. Glad to have you with us every day, Monday through Friday, in this airspace from 10 a.m. until noon. Always happy to be joined by my co-host, the pride of Northwest Williamson County, a proud graduate of Florence High School.
Damn straight.
He wore and proudly wore the purple and white jersey of the Florence Buffaloes when he was known as Highway 79, former honorable mention all-district offensive lineman. But you know him best for his outstanding work at Horns 24/7. That's Jeff Howe. How you doing today?
Thank God my parents lived on the right side of FM 487.
Yeah. We're going with that again. You know, hey.
It's the bit that never ends.
I'll tell you what. And I don't take either side on this because I didn't grow up either in Florence or Andice or Gerald. But I can tell you this. There was a report on KXN last night. It was a big back-to-school thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about the growth of schools in the area.
Yeah.
And in Williamson County, where it's all exploded, Liberty Hill, they had a big thing about how Liberty Hill, I think, had gone up 164%, the growth.
Is that even something that's real? 164%?
Yeah. But if you go
they
up
like a 6A school.
Yeah, if you go up Ronald Reagan Boulevard and you go on up further north and you get to where it is, where it crosses the whole big Santa Rita Ranch. Oh, excuse me, I should do it like Bob Cole. Santa Rita Ranch. If you go up that way and you see all that and on that other side, there's already a Santa Rita Middle School where kids feed into Liberty Hill.
Man.
But at 164%, I think it is, they're only the second fastest growing area. No, the number one is Gerald at 187%.
That's some misinformed folks moving to the wrong side.
Gerald, Texas, USA. I'm just telling you. Gerald is on the uptick. They continue to grow more and more. I thought of you last night. Linda and I looked over at each other and just smiled. That's all it took. We knew what each other was thinking about that. I thought, Jeff,
look, if the noobs are pushing out the folks that have lived there for a while, just make sure that the outhouses stay on the wrong side of 487. Don't let them drift too far toward Florence. Don't need any of that riffraff.
Okay. All right. Somebody said, sounds like Gerald hates more than he loves Florence. Oh, that's that old thing that Mac Brown talked about, how the Sooners hate Texas more than they love OU, or the fans, or
that old bit, like you hate to lose more than you like to win.
Yeah.
There's some truth to that. I'm not gonna lie.
So there it is. I love the refreshing honesty.
No,
Cooter
no
says,
point in trying to beat around that bush.
Cooter says Gerald's experience in high growth. Apparently, a lot of people like flat nothingness with no trees. You roll up 35, you don't see that anymore. I'm just telling you. Explosive growth there along the interstate, and you look out there east, you see those homes popping up everywhere. So anyway,
a lot of truck stops.
There is that. There's those travel centers.
A lot of bathrooms befitting for a town, sewage systems have a lot in common.
There's also a lot that our producer would really like, given his affinity for fast food. He of course does the tremendous job as the purveyor of all good things, Flex. Because after all, in the final analysis, Flex completed his final preseason or off-season Flex ATX show last night. He's Jonathan John Donaldson, J. Donaldson. We know him as Snoop Daniel. How you doing this morning?
Had a lot of fun on the show last night. Yeah. I will say that maybe the Gerald thing is like a teaching moment, Jeff. Because remember when...
In what way?
I remember I drove past Gerald and I was like, I started scowling at it. I was like, why did I do that? I was like, I was taught that by Jeff.
See?
I was like, hate is taught. So like, maybe like if they wind up being a good city, if they're a bad city, wind up, you know, flourishing into something like good, then it's maybe a teaching moment in life.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's some analogy about broken clocks being right twice a day or something.
Oh. I did, but I never experienced that where I looked at something scowled and I'm like, why did I do that? I'm like, God, I like Jeff influenced me to. I had no reason to scowl at that sign. But
yeah, if you're any folks from the West Coast or different parts of the country coming to Texas and you're moving to Gerald, please do not let what you see in the northernmost portions of Williamson County distort your view of what the rest of the state and the rest of our area is like.
It's funny because, and the reason Jeff is saying that is because somebody on the Specs text line said, Gerald plus Cali imports equal culture shock. Whoa! As they say in the Bud Light commercial.
I like that in that they throw in just the word avocado randomly.
Yeah. Avocado.
It cracks me up every time.
Yeah.
Can I answer this text?
Which text is it?
There are black people in Liberty Hill.
Oh, somebody asked
about yes, him. I know. There are. Trust me, fam. Yeah. I saw them.
Okay, so there you go.
They're cool. See, they're
bad. Okay, all right.
I feel like some of these growth numbers you're giving me for municipalities in our fair burg in and around, I feel like they're like Celebrity Jeopardy numbers, you know, like when Trebek would tell fake Sean Connery his score is so low it can't even be quantified by a real number. Or can't even be represented by a real number.
Oh, Trebek, you're such a schmo.
Who was it? Somebody, I forgot who it was, but somebody their bid for Final Jeopardy was Texas with a dollar sign next
yeah,
to it.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought I wasn't even going to bring that up today until you went once more is your custom throwing shade on Gerald. So I just wanted you to know.
I got to do it. Yeah. I appreciate that.
I still believe I need to get our vaunted sales staff on it. We need to do a show. Like maybe one in Gerald and maybe one in Florence, you know, to just to do that, or maybe out at the Andice General Store or something.
Well, I'll do a show in Gerald. I'm not wearing that logo and I'm not wearing those colors. I'm just putting it down right now.
Nobody said you had to wear the logo or the colors. You know,
I'll do a show there.
Okay,
because we are the high school sports show of record here on the Horn.
Yeah. But.
Yeah. And I'm up for a good bit, but there are some bits that cross the line, and that would be one of them.
Somebody who's new to the conversation wanted to know why can Jeff explain why he's such a problem with the city of Gerald? This goes to rivalry because he grew up in Florence on the other side of Farm to Market 487.
Correct side.
All right. But anyway, he grew up in northwest Williamson County, which is how we always introduce him. Gerald, of course, is in far northern Williamson County. I mean, it is right before you cross the county line into Bell County.
Yep.
Just before that. I think you cross the county line right around mile marker 280 or so, and Gerald's around 275.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty close there. So, but there's always been that.
The exit sign for 487 is going to be one of the last things you see before you cross into Bell County.
Exactly. So for years, the two were rivals, but they don't play each other because Gerald has way outdistanced Florence in terms of population growth. It's not a bad thing about Florence. What it is when you live on that I-35 corridor, once you cross into that Williamson County line, the explosive growth. And for that matter, it's in the Super Centex too. I was in Bell County and Falls County and obviously McLennan County.
In my younger days, the rivalry used to be Florence and Liberty Hill.
Yeah,
when they were in the same district forever. That is no longer the case.
Yeah, Liberty Hill's a 5A school. Gerald's a 4A.
I can remember when I was in middle school at Florence, Hutto was a district game.
How about that?
Yeah,
yeah.
Now 6A.
Yeah. So you know,
times have changed, but in our area is growing in so many ways.
Yeah.
So many parts of the listening area.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, APD Des Moines says, I know I-35X, it's better than TxDOT. Listen, I've just been, I know that road because I travel that road a lot, especially starting, you know, I just did it the other day doing the high school football preview show. And then when next weekend, I'm actually over in the greater Houston area on Friday night to do the Texas Football Days. Kickoff game between Shadow Creek and Manville, live telecast for Valley Sports Southwest. But after that, starting like the Labor Day weekend, I make that trip up I-35 to the Valley Sports Southwest studios to do the high school scoreboard live show. I think it's 16 out of 18 weeks. counting the preseason. 16 out of 18 weeks. So, yeah, there's 16 Friday night, and I think there's 11 of them consecutively where I go up. You know, so just, yeah, that's how I've gotten to know it. And over the years, obviously, remember the first 5 years that I was in the broadcast booth as the analyst working with Bill Schoening on football and men's basketball, and did 10 football and 9 basketball seasons as the color analyst with Bill as the play-by-play voice. The first 5 years of that, I was still living in the Metroplex, so I commuted for every football and men's basketball game. So yeah, I got to know I-35, that and the high school extra show, yep, when we went all over the state in the van. So yeah, there's been a lot of miles logged on I-35.
See, I'd like texts like this one that comes in anytime I start the Gerald Smack Talk. Somebody from Holland texts in and says Holland hates Gerald too. You get somebody from Holland or somebody from Bartlett, somebody from Granger. Maybe every now and then somebody from Salado, they'll chip in.
Here's somebody who remembers when Granger and Round Rock used to be a district game.
Damn.
That goes back a ways. Somebody else pointed, Gerald beat Florence 5 years in a row from 04 to 08.
Well,
that was after you left.
I was long gone by that point.
Mm-hmm.
They need something to celebrate up in the northernmost portions of Williamson County.
Yeah. So anyway, so there's so we were. Somebody says, will you guys be giving out copies of Mike Roach's new book? Just wondering.
I don't believe we have any copies to give away. You can pre-order it though on Amazon right now, but I
saw the cover yesterday.
Yeah, Mike got a few kind of promotional copies, mm-hmm, to hand out, but not like we do with DCTF where we just get, you know, cases and can, yeah, give them away, stuff,
yeah,
like that. I'll talk to Mike and see. I don't know how many he got. Like he and I talked last night. He was on his way from.
You Love. Think you could get me one?
I think you wrote the foreword. Yes, you're going to get one, Craig.
I did see on the references forward by Craig Way. I thought, hey, I wonder if I can get one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we can make that happen.
Okay.
But I know he got some promotional copies. He actually has been in Nashville at our 24/7 Sports corporate headquarters and was flying back last night. And when he got home, the books were waiting for him. So I'll get with him after the show, see how many copies he's got, if there's any he can make available. They might already be spoken for.
Right, right.
One being That's the way your it's... copy. So
yeah,
I doubt it, but let me see what I can do.
Okay. We have cracked into our final box of copies of Dave Campbell's Texas
Ooh, down
Football
to the
Magazine.
End.
Well, I plot it out like that so that to make them last all the way through. So we've got enough to get through this week. So that's why we're going to give away two more copies today. In fact, one right now, caller number 4. Be the fourth caller at 512-447-3776. 512-447-3776. We'll give away two more copies, one each hour here on the program, and still giving away some copies online at hornfm.com. And, of course, now I'm hearing it's pretty much in widespread distribution. You can at the HEBs, Walmarts, and various different outlets you can find it now. But we are giving away through the rest of this week, as we added a bonus week this year, a fifth week. And the reason we did that was because of the delay, because of the supply chain issues and their printing bureau issues.
Mm-hmm.
Everything got pushed back by a month. So when we got our stack of copies to give away, I said, we'll give away a fifth week. We usually do 4 weeks, one solid month there, but it's a fifth week. So we're into our final week now, our fifth and final week. So we'll give away a copy right now, and we'll give away another copy next hour. We have Longhorn Notebook coming up bottom of the hour. What do we got today?
We're going to talk quarterbacks.
Okay.
Quarterback battle. The insider piece posted at Hornets 24/7. Kind of an all-encompassing look at where things stand for both guys, for Hudson Card and Quinn Ewers.
Cool.
Going into scrimmage two, so we'll look at that. And then notebook number two, I always like looking at the transition classes, like when you're a recruiting class in between one regime and the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that transition class between Tom Herman and Steve Sarkisian, pretty much exclusively, with the exception of Xavier Worthy, the guys that are left were recruited by Tom Herman and company. Some guys in that class, when you start looking at it, going to play really big roles for this team,
mm-hmm,
in 2022.
Yeah, so we have that coming up. We do have Inconceivable later this hour. Next hour, we have our Horn Top 20 countdown down to number 7 and the highest-ranking Big 12 team out of that coming up next hour. We'll have a Flex 30 update, and then obviously at the bottom of the next hour, another Longhorn Notebook. So we have all of those things, and as I mentioned, we'll give away another copy of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine coming up. This was something that had been talked about for quite some time, Jeff, about the Big Ten Television 7-year media rights agreement with Fox, CBS, NBC. It's set to bring in more than $7 billion to the Big Ten. No surprises there. Everybody wants to see what the trickle down is and how it affects the other Power 5 leagues in specific, and in these parts in specific, Big 12/SEC.
Yeah, I heard Aaron talking about this morning, and I had to listen to E carry me through it because I was driving and didn't have time to pull over and like read everything this morning. The interesting part in there is the escalator, that there are escalators in this deal. To where if the Big Ten did decide to add more teams, the pot will still be split evenly. So if and when the Big Ten decides to expand, it's not going to cut into anybody else's money. In other words, Northwestern or Iowa or Indiana, their piece of the pie won't be any smaller if, you know, Stanford, Washington, and Oregon become a part of this thing or whatever down the road.
Okay, so equal share.
Yeah, that's the interesting part. If I'm interpreting what Aaron said, I haven't had a chance to really dig into this. I was on my way in when all this broke. Do we know the CBS component for this? Is it like that second tier football game, like the 2:30 window?
Yep, the 2:30 window. And CBS will carry 14 to 15 Big Ten games per season, and it's expected they'll slot into the 2:30 game.
The NBC aspect is interesting
because
of Notre Dame, obviously. Yep. But, you know, in that NBC Universal family, Peacock, I know, is going to be a part of
this.
You've also got USA Network. Like, you've got a few outlets in that NBC Universal family where you can put games on cable.
Can't you just see Peacock with the Rutgers Northwestern game?
That's kind of what I'm thinking about.
Yeah. Yeah, or non-conference game of that ilk.
That's why I like the streaming platforms and multiple outlets for games, because back in the day, there was nothing that would just be more disheartening than like game day. It's like, hey, we're at the cocktail party. It's Florida, Georgia, and we're ready for a great day. Here's your noon kickoff, and it's like Northwestern and Illinois. What am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
I didn't ask for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait till 2:30 for the good games to start. So I like the fact that there are multiple platforms in this deal.
What, did you just say how dare you?
Yeah, for fans of that game.
For knocking North. So I apologize if there are Northwestern football fans or Illinois football fans listening.
Well,
right now.
And let me just say
Washington from Pflugerville is a receiver for Illinois.
Yeah. Let me just say as a guy who went to a G5 school in North Texas, it'd be like a special treat to see North Texas get on a network, you know, and get even CBS Sports Network. It's nice to see them play a Conference USA game, you know, that's that sort of thing. They're getting ready to join the American, so that's going to help with their exposure because ESPN is, you know, contracts to the American. So there's all of those things. So I can empathize, understand with people that are fans of those specific schools. That said, I fully realize, as many do, where the vast majority of eyes desire to go to watch, like you said, a major game, even in the early window. And that was Fox's big push all along, that big game, that big noon kickoff thing, is to put a gigantic game on at noon Eastern, and it has consistently drawn the highest ratings. For those who are just, and I completely get it, trust me, as a guy who will stand in that booth when it's hot there for the season opener, I get it about, you know, how folks would much rather see Texas-Alabama in prime time. I would as well. But, you know, Fox has the call there, and they want that big noon kick. Did you notice last weekend they were already promoting Texas-Alabama? Fox was. They were already promoting Texas Alabama. If you watch, like Fox had a Saturday baseball game. The Rangers and Mariners were on. It was the undercard, really, because Red Sox Yankees were on to 85% of the nation, I think it was, and then in Texas and in Seattle, obviously up in those markets and the Texas markets, you were getting Rangers Mariners. Well, during that. And during any other words, they're already running promos for Texas Alabama the second week of the season.
Yeah.
So that's why. I mean, you understand, you know, what it's going to be like. That kind of thing. White Rabbits Guru said, wasn't Bucky an Illini coach? He was.
Bucky did coach Illinois. Yes,
he did.
With John McAvoy.
He was on that staff. The other big news last night involved a local product. And in his first major league at bat for the New York Mets, having only played, I think, a grand total of 9 games at the AAA level, none other than Lake Travis's own Brett Beatty at the plate last night. In the ball game for the New York Mets in their contest, as the Mets were in action against the Braves, Brett Beatty last night at the plate for the Mets, and an amazing story for the rookie coming up.
Gets a breaking ball and hits it out to Ryan. Acuna goes back to the warning track, looks up, and it's out of here. How about that? Brett Beatty hits a 2-run homer in his first major league at bat. Second pitch he sees, and Beatty hits it out of the yard. A moment to remember for Brett Beatty and his family. A 2-run homer, and it's 4-0 New York.
Howie Roach calling that on the Mets radio last night. What a great story. And I flipped, I missed the actual home run, but I flipped over right after that when the Mets dugout reporter was in the stands with Brett's parents, and it was a great moment with them and a great interview with
them. I saw on Twitter that I guess the Lake Travis baseball team was having a watch party, and they just went berserk when that home run happened. So that's cool for him. Brett Beatty, one-time Texas signee, Brett Beatty.
Well, he flash took him going around the bases, and that was really cool. So, Snoop, you have a Brett Beatty rookie card?
No, I would like one now.
Might want to wait a little bit. They're going to be, you know, the fear of missing out is going to take over, and those are going to pop up in price a little bit. So if you want one, I would just wait a little bit.
We
can make it happen.
I'm going to break the rule of a grown man with a jersey. I'm probably going
to. See, technically, he doesn't have any rookie cards right now. It's all prospect stuff.
I started to say, it'd be all under the prospect thing right now, right?
Yeah, I don't know if he wouldn't have gotten promoted in time, I don't think, to make Topps update. So. His rookie stuff might not be out until next year. Next year,
so there you
products.
Go.
I'm going to get jerseys for
like
him.
The Mantle Garrett. Rookie card is 52.
He does. Mantle does have the 51 Bowman, but the 52 Topps is universally recognized as his true rookie card. It's weird when you get into it and what people count as the true rookie and what they don't. So scarcity has a lot to do with it. The 51 Bowman's more readily available than the 52
that
Topps.
That is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because he began the season, obviously, he was at went and then got sent back down to Kansas City to AAA, and then the Yankees called him back up.
Like for Willie Mays, more people consider Mays' 51 Bowman his true rookie card as compared to the 52 Topps.
Which is interesting because he began the season at AAA Minneapolis, the Minneapolis Millers, the Giants AAA in 51. He was batting .477 when they called him up in late spring.
And then as you get into the 70s, really more so the 80s and even into the 90s, you get the XRC, right? So if you're in a traded set, like Daryl Strawberry's one, right? So Daryl Strawberry has a card in 83 Topps traded, which would technically be his first Topps card.
Yeah.
But collectors kind of consider that an extended rookie card, and more people consider his true rookie cards to be the stuff that's in the 84 set. And I think he's in all the bigger ones, Topps, Fleer, and Donruss. So it's really weird. Digging into it and figuring out what's what.
Okay. All right. Did we have a winner in our for the magazine?
Rex Cheney of Georgetown.
Well, way to go, Rex. All right. So that's winner number one. We'll give away another copy next hour as well. Up next, we'll have our Longhorn Notebook with Jeff as we continue. Light the Tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn. This is Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig Way, Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel alongside as well. I have Inconceivable coming up in a few moments. 11 o'clock hour, we have latest our Horn Top 20 countdown. We'll have a Flex ATX update, Flex 30 update, and another one of those notebooks. But it's time right now for the first installment of the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
And it's brought to you by Aaron Bowersock, the home loan expert. You just heard Snoop talking about it. Yeah, you can get the whole thing done from hello, how are you, my first conversation with Aaron Bowersock to complete closing done was a grand total of 14 days, but you could do it in as little as 10 days, can get it done. Check them out at bowersockteam.com.
Let's talk quarterbacks.
Please.
Texas quarterbacks. The battle is still to be determined. Did you happen to see the Chris Lowe ESPN interview he did with Sark? Okay.
I did.
Where Sark indicated he's got an idea of where he wants to go. Sark has gone on record with this before, and he went on record with Chris Lowe again. Doesn't really want to alternate quarterbacks, but you can get to Horns 24/7 and get the full rundown on this. I don't know that that's completely off the table. I don't know that anything at this point is completely off the table. The second scrimmage on Saturday is going to determine, by and large, where this thing is going to go and what the playing time for both would be in the opener, everything of that nature. So I'll just start off with, again, our insider at Horns 24/7. If the season started today, you like that whole bit, Craig, if you had to play a game today, if it started today.
Don't you always love that? If they, you know, yeah, uh-huh.
So if the season started today, it would probably be Hudson Card starting because of his overall command of the offense. That's according to a few different sources. Now, of course, the season doesn't start today. We talk about that massive, cannot be stated enough how important the scrimmages on Saturday for both of these guys.
So, got 16 days to go.
So what is separating the two quarterbacks at this point? Well, for Hudson Card, he has a better command. This is according to various sources. He has a better command of the offense. He's a little more mature right now from a football standpoint. You'd probably expect that considering third year in a college program, second year in Sark's offense, just a little bit better feel for things. You know, Quinn Ewers, on the other hand, 3 months at Ohio State, hardly got any fall camp action because, remember, he graduated early, got in there late. They were already well into the swing of things with camp.
Right.
And then he transfers. And we've seen what sources have said when they see a little bit more behind closed doors, but we've seen it with what the eye test has shown us. He's going to be a good player, but it takes time, and it's going to take time for him to really digest all of this offense. I think another thing that separates the two is the chances they take with the football. According to one source, Quinn is going to take his shots, and Quinn is going to take his shots and take some chances, which is a good thing and a bad thing sometimes. We saw that in the open practice a little bit, even in some of the control periods, maybe where the ball has to come out. Maybe you trust your arm a little bit too much to get it in a window that's going to close quicker than you anticipate. And we did, apparently what we saw in the open practice is a little bit what's been happening behind the scenes with Hudson Card, just being more aware of, hey, check the ball down, throw it away, kind of live to play another down, not taking sacks, not risking making turnovers at times. Quote, Ewers doesn't hesitate on the deep ball, one source said. You know the saying, if he's even, he's leaving. For a quarterback watching a receiver going deep, some quarterbacks hesitate and wait to make sure the receiver is leaving, and not Ewers. He throws those deep balls on time and lets it fly. I think that's kind of what we all get mesmerized with Quinn. It's just that big-time arm talent, the ability to chunk the ball down the field, the explosive plays in the vertical game. But that's pretty much where things are at, Craig. I think it's just right now Quinn Ewers' talent level and kind of more being more boom than bust, for lack of a better term, has not gotten to the point where he's been able to overtake Hudson Card, who just has a better overall command and feel for the offense right now, according to basically what we're hearing from the inside going into the scrimmage on Saturday.
Well, this is something Sark has said from the outset. He said it in the spring. He said it at Big 12 Media Days. He said it in our sit-down conversation with him at coaching school that it has always been about different sets of evaluations, meaning for Quinn Ewers, it's about grasp of the system, grasp of the offense, the learning curve of the offense. And for Hudson Card, it's been about the familiarity with improvement within his familiarity of the offensive system, just getting better, getting more confident, making the right read, the right throw, the right play, that sort of thing. It's two different sets of evaluation as they watch each of those guys make their bid to be the starter. And he said, we have to feed all of that into and then sit down and evaluate who gives us the best chance to win based on those different sets of criteria.
And I know Sark, again, has gone on record, doesn't want to play two quarterbacks, wants to let one guy get into a rhythm. Depending on how the scrimmage goes, he might come out of this thinking, yeah, both are going to have to play against ULM to see what kind of a feel they've got. Because, again, we can talk about how Quinn Ewers is, how we think and how we anticipate. He's going to keep in mind, he's yet to throw a pass in a collegiate game.
Right.
So we and including Sark, everybody can anticipate how he's going to do when he's out there in a truly live situation. We can assume how much better Hudson Card has improved since last season. But until those guys are out there in a game situation, you just don't know. And that Sark included, you just don't know. And again, he might just need that opener to let this thing play out.
Yeah. Well, and as you mentioned, Saturday, if it's not the telling day, it'll certainly be factored into the telling factors with this next scrimmage they have coming up. Because we talked about I think some of the feeling was what's going to happen in the first scrimmage, and there wasn't enough separation there. I think folks saw in the open practice, even with plain vanilla, offensive setups, and as you pointed out that Sark said yesterday, it's grandma's cookies without the special ingredients in them. But even with that in there, when folks were watching in the open practice, you didn't really see separation there, and it's been very, very close throughout the course of these workouts. Last year was very, very close all the way to the end and deciding to go with Hudson Card. But remember, he said both were definitely going to play against Louisiana. Both did well. Then you had the Arkansas game.
We didn't see Casey until the second half of the Louisiana game and late against Arkansas. And I just – it's interesting what Sark has kind of revealed about that Arkansas game, because he said it at Big 12 Media Days. He said it in the Chris Lowe piece, that Hudson kind of got unfairly dinged. Basically, too much of the Arkansas loss got heaped on him. And he didn't play well that night, and it didn't look good. And there's a big reason why there was a different starting quarterback for that Rice game.
Yep.
But it's, again, with young quarterbacks, it's all about, can you learn from that? Can you grow? Can you develop? And we'll see where Hudson Card is with that. I think it's interesting, and we mentioned this in the Insider, the dynamic has kind of flipped, whereas last year Casey Thompson was the guy that had multiple years in a college program, even though the game experience wasn't ideally where you want it for a guy that's been in a program that long, it at least kind of, he had been able to process a little bit more, slow down a little bit more, been in the meeting room with Sam Ellinger, understood how Sam studied and what he viewed, and at least got to see it from that standpoint. Just had more of a frame of reference than Hudson Card did. Now, the shoe is on the other foot, where Hudson Card, again, he's the guy that's been in a college program for 3 years and has had a full year and a spring and now a camp into this offense, whereas Quinn Ewers, again, basically 3.5 months at Ohio State was all he got after playing his junior year at South Lake Carroll, and then got to Texas for spring. So it's not a question of talent or whether Quinn Ewers is good enough or not. It's how much, and this is, it's a Sark call, because how much of the offense do you feel comfortable with Quinn Ewers running at this point? And for Sark, is that enough of a amount to feel like you can be who you want to be on offense with him at quarterback? Mm-hmm. In other words, are you just going to be so handicapped that, you know what, you have to go to the other guy just to keep the entire, more of the playbook open?
Right.
More of what you want to do. So it's going to be, I know we said this last year, and anytime there's a quarterback battle around this place, we would say this, but I'm fascinated to hear what comes out of this scrimmage on Saturday.
Yeah, somebody on the spec text line, if Casey started against Arkansas, do y'all think we would have won?
No, because Casey Thompson didn't play on the offensive or defensive lines, and that's where Texas lost the football game.
Yep. Just
in a landslide.
Yeah, so it just has to be that. So, anyway, and it'll still continue to be the conversation going all the way about, you know, who's the safer choice, the better choice, the higher play, you know. But again, it still comes down to who they think gives them the best chance to win.
And Specs text line 337-3776. No, I didn't say yesterday that I would trade Hudson Card for Cam Rising. I said that I wouldn't trade Hudson Card for Cam Rising. I said I wouldn't trade Quinn Ewers for Cam Rising in that weird quarterback trade machine hypothetical that we got into late in the show yesterday.
Yeah. Somebody said, does it worry you at all that this is the second year ago Sark is having quote-unquote trouble naming a starting quarterback?
No, because last year neither one of those guys – again, Sark was the first head coach in the post-Darrell Royal era to walk into the job and inherit a quarterback room with 0 games of starting experience. Yep. He didn't know what he had last year.
Yep.
And now he's got a guy in Quinn that he at least has a baseline of where Hudson Card, excuse me. He's got a guy in Hudson Card where there's a baseline, at least, of what he did last year, and you can track some growth. But in Quinn, you're Sark knows he's got a talented guy, but in terms of playing the quarterback position, didn't really know what he had until he got on the field with Quinn in the spring.
That's true.
But I do think he's got a better idea. Got a better idea of what he has now than he did at this time last year in that competition between Hudson and Casey.
Yep.
Got a better idea of what he's got with Hudson and Quinn right now.
All right, so there's our notebook for this hour, and we'll continue also to take a look at your questions and comments on the SpecSec Island. Somebody put up that picture we were talking about earlier, Brett Beatty on the home run flash, yeah, and throwing up the horns
right
on the home run.
Hey, so I'll say one thing else about the quarterback battle, Craig. When you look at the history of Texas as a Big 12 program, I'm trying to go through the years again. I think 2002 with Chris Sims.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 2005 with Vince Young.
Mm-hmm.
07, 08, 09 with Colt.
Yep.
10 with Garrett Gilbert. And then you've got, what would that be, 18, 19, and 20 with Sam Ellinger. It's only 9 times where Texas has gone wire to wire with the same starting quarterback. But within those 9 seasons, you either had a John Childs, a Tyrone Swoop, somebody that was kind of a specialty player to supplement. Shane Buechele in 2016 was the same way with that 18-wheeler package. You had a quarterback that could supplement some things. Or you had a situation like, obviously, the national championship game at the end of the 09 season, the Baylor game in 18, where the starter might start, but he might be out there for a couple of plays, and then the backup essentially plays the whole game. So more often than not, Texas has proven you need 2 quarterbacks to get through a season. So whichever one of these guys doesn't start, said the same thing last year that I'll say this year, whoever's not the starter for game one, they've got to stay engaged, they've got to stay focused, they've got to stay with it, because you really are one bad thing, one play, one moment away from now it's your team and you're the guy.
There it is. All right. We'll have another notebook coming up next hour as well. Up next, Inconceivable, as we continue with Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and Horn FM.
Just what you think it means.
Well, inconceivable means a great many things, as we've talked about. I have a baseball inconceivable note to start with, from a game that happened last night. I don't know if you guys heard
about
this.
Not Brett Beatty hitting a home run?
No. And by the way, thanks to the texter clarified. You know, we said we had thrown up the hook'em when he rounded the bases. It was tweeted out by many that he did it. What you cannot see from that backside is the thumb extended, the I love you sign. And what Brett was doing was telling his mom he loved her. And he was looking straight over the stands there when he came to that second, third. Someone sent us the front side picture where it would look like hook'em, except that thumb is extended as in love you. And so he's extending that. So there. So,
Snoop, can you Photoshop that and put the thumb inside?
Yeah, I got
the palm
you.
Of his
I
hand?
Got you.
That's pretty
right.
cool.
That's messed up. It took his mama's shout out away.
Yeah. So there it is. And everybody brought up the 2 numbers. I heard Aaron talking about this. 2-run bomb, second inning, second pitch. His initials, BB, second letter in the alphabet. Yeah, absolutely. All of that, too. At the time, it was 2-1 when he hit it.
Yeah, the runner was on second. It was the 20th pitch of the inning. Oh, my God, there's so many.
Lots of 2s in there. But that wasn't the inconceivable baseball note I had for you. No. The inconceivable baseball note takes us to the city by the lake, Cleveland, Ohio. Did you hear about this? Indians, Tigers last night?
Guardians, Tigers, sir.
I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. There it is.
Sir.
My mom used to say, a slip of the tongue is no fault of the mind. You know, it is. It's the Cleveland Guardians. The Guardians were taking on the Tigers, and they get to the 8th inning, and Cleveland is down by a score, I believe, of 4-2.
Okay.
All right. So, Andrew Chafin is on the mound for the Tigers. Strikes out the first batter. Strikes out the second batter. Strikes out the third batter. Inning over, right? Nope. Wild pitch. So, Luke Miley reaches, and it extends the Indians, it extends the inning, and then the Guardians then followed up with 5 straight hits, 7 consecutive men reach base. Chafin said, I went from, yeah, all right, to, well, crap, pretty quickly. He said it's not a nice game. It's going to get you like that sometimes. That's baseball for you. So after that, Ahmed Rosario comes up, and then he greets Alex Lang with a game-tying infield single that scored Miles Straw. And then there was a soft fly ball.
Former Astro Miles Straw.
That landed in front of Akil Baddoo. And the Guardians went up 6-4, and they went at 8-4. They scored six runs after three strikeouts. That's the first time in the expansion era of baseball, going all the way back to 1961, is as far back as they can trace it, that a team has scored six runs after three strikeouts. How odd is that?
As a wise man once said, that's the way baseball go.
Yeah. Maybe the once and future manager of the Texas Rangers, right?
You know, it's like Augie used to say, man, it's a cruel game. You strike out the side, but because of a wild pitch, it's a five-run inning.
Yeah. He used to say, she's a cruel mistress, is what Augie used to say about baseball. The other day there was a game, maybe it was the Dodgers-Royals game, I think it was. Yeah, where a reliever for the Dodgers, might have been Evan Phillips, struck out
four. Wasn't Turd Ferguson?
No, and he continues to do well. Gave up a walk and a hit last night, but still got out of it.
Flushing him down.
Yeah. Again, his name is Caleb Ferguson. Linda said she did not know his name. She only knew him by what you call him.
One day I wanted to go out to the mound with a big floppy cowboy hat.
Yeah, that would be fun. By the way, he's a big college football fan. He's from Ohio. He's a big Ohio State Buckeyes fan.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, he is. He really is. But they had a game, I think it was Dodgers-Royals over the weekend. Evan Phillips was on the mound, and he struck out four batters in one inning. Struck out the three. There was a wild pitch, and then he struck out the next guy. So he struck out four in one time. Somebody, APD number one, asked how long have the Indians been the Guardians? Just this year. Said I missed that name change. It started this year. So, yeah, that's where that story.
Hey, can I ask a dumb baseball scorebook question?
Yep, go ahead.
On a third strike that goes awry,
yep.
Do you always score a wild pitch or can you score
a
pass ball?
No. It could be a pass ball.
Okay.
Absolutely, it could be a pass ball.
All right.
So, yeah. I mean, if it's one right down the middle and it goes off his mitt, yeah, okay. that'll be a PB.
That happened last night in the Dodger game. Yeah. Somebody late dropped it.
Yeah.
Third strike and it was scored a wild pitch. A pass ball.
Yeah, it's happened. Snoop, we didn't get to this. This came out last week because I knew I heard Aaron talking about it or early part of this week. Maybe you like cereal, right?
Yes.
We've talked about that.
Yes.
Okay. Snoop Daniel, have you tried Snoop Dogg's cereal?
That's so funny. Did you say it? No.
You haven't tried
Snoop Loops.
The Snoop Loops?
Dude.
Yeah.
Is that Kellogg's brand?
It looks like an independent brand.
Oh, I bet.
Looks like it's Malto Meal.
Looks like it says Broadus Foods.
But yeah, that's his last. His real name is Calvin Broadus.
Yeah, so. It's Broadus Foods. Broadus Foods. The C stands for cereal. Ain't nothing but a C thing, baby. And so Snoop Loops, brand new cereal, in the Broadus Foods line that he co-founded with Master P.
Master P.